Couple Having Problems.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Their names are Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They are the backbone of the U.S. mortgage industry, and they're both in trouble. This morning, Freddie Mac reported a $2 billion loss for the last quarter. Earlier this month, Fannie Mae said its profits were way down from a year ago. Dan Gretsch explains why this is such a big concern.
Together, the companies own or guarantee nearly half of all U.S. mortgages, a total of $5 trillion. But this once solid foundation is beginning to show cracks as mortgage defaults hit Fannie and Freddie's bottom lines. Chris Mayer directs the Milstein Center for Real Estate at Columbia University.
We are relying on Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to provide a lot of capital. If they're not there to provide that capital, it's going to be very hard to find lenders in the housing market.
And then what happens?
Well, if we can't get mortgages, the housing market's going to be in big trouble.
Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are backed by the U.S. government. That means if the situation sours for the companies, taxpayers are on the hook. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Freddie Mac's shares have dropped off a cliff this morning. They're down 22%. And Target said its third quarter earnings fell 4%, so its shares are down. But Wall Street's trying to shake it off. So far, the Dow is up 72 points to 13,031. The NASDAQ has climbed 16, and the S&P 500 is up 7. The Asian markets were mixed today. European shares are higher so far. The dollar hit another new low against the euro today, $1.47-ish. Every time the dollar falls, Chinese officials break out their calculators and see that their mountain of dollar reserves has gotten smaller. It's lost 16% this year already. Bill Marcus has more from Shanghai.
Today in Singapore, China's premier, Wen Jiabao, wondered out loud how much longer China will hold on to its dollars, saying China's starting to worry about the value of its reserves. Fears of Beijing dumping its greenbacks are likely to fuel market speculation and make the dollar drop even worse. 2 weeks ago, when another top China official wondered out loud about the dollar's value, the Dow lost over 360 points. In Shanghai, I'm Bill Marcus for Marketplace.
If you'd rather get your antibiotics by taking a pill instead of, eating chicken, you might want to avoid Tyson Foods. The government says Tyson cannot use the raised without antibiotics label anymore. Marketplace's Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
Maybe you've seen the Tyson Foods ads touting chickens raised without antibiotics. The company spent millions advertising the birds. And initially, the USDA okayed the label. But a few weeks ago, the government decided the Tyson chickens actually do have antibiotics in them. Apparently, the agency overlooked a suspect feed additive. But Tyson says the additive's not an antibiotic. Food industry consultant Mike Shaw says the government's going overboard.
It's almost like splitting feathers.
Tyson was the first major poultry company to offer antibiotic-free chickens back in May, something Shaw says consumers are looking for.
It's very important to those consumers that the product be pure and not have additives. But my sense is that consumers would rather be safe than ill.
Tyson says it will modify the label to state that the chickens contain no ingredients that could create antibiotic resistance in humans. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Sure, the government is opening up some restricted airspace this week and making a few other technical changes to minimize delays. But chances are flying is still going to be a tremendous headache. Here's Bob Moon.
It's still so bad, it seems, the president himself has been fearing another air travel nightmare before Christmas.
Unfortunately, it's a season of dread for too many Americans.
Some critics complain the fixes Bush announced late last week are hardly more than Band-Aids. Passengers are still being abused, they say, and the airlines keep getting away with empty promises.
They haven't kept one of them.
Kate Hanai founded the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. A former captive passenger herself, she's determined this holiday season will be different. Her group is enlisting volunteer travelers with cameras to record any airline trouble they encounter.
We've feel that if we can hold them to task and let them know that we're watching closely, they won't be able to get away with that kind of behavior anymore.
Continue boarding our main cabin. That's from the reactor aircraft.
Those who do run into trouble can call a special round-the-clock hotline for help if they're stranded on a runway or bumped from an overcrowded flight. You'll find details at the group's website, flyersrights.org. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
There's a new series on Showtime called Californication, but that's also the name of a Red Hot Chili Peppers song and album from 1999. The Chili Peppers don't think that's too cool. Yesterday, the band sued Showtime for using that name. The show also features a character called Danny California. That happens to be the title of a Chili Peppers song that came out last year.
And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Tuesday, November 20th on Marketplace.org. Investors will get some important information from the Federal Reserve today. First of all, the minutes of last month's Fed meeting, but also a more detailed economic forecast. Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
The Fed will be serving up an early Thanksgiving feast today, heaping our plates with predictions for inflation, economic growth, and unemployment for the next 3 years. Until today, projections only looked ahead 2 years. Also, the Fed will start reading the economic tea leaves 4 times a year instead of twice. Oberlin College economics professor Ken Kuttner says Fed critics are hungry for even more information, but this is a good start.
It's not throwing the windows open wide, but it's just cracking them open a bit more.
The Fed is giving us a better peek at inflation for the first time, factoring in volatile food and energy costs. That's a good thing, says former Fed Governor Lyle Gramley.
I think consumers were confused before because the Fed seemed to be saying we don't realize that people eat and drive automobiles.
This feast of information should help us plan everything from when to buy a house to how many people we invite to Thanksgiving dinner. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Paper or plastic? You won't hear that question in San Francisco anymore. Starting today, the city becomes the first in the nation to ban traditional plastic bags at big grocery stores. Sarah Gardner reports from our sustainability desk.
Under this new ordinance, the grocery chains in San Francisco now have a choice. They can hand the customer a paper bag made with at least 40% recycled content, or they can use a special compostable plastic bag. But Dave Hyland of the California Grocers Association says the switch may not be entirely eco-friendly.
There is some concern. Are we really reducing the number of bags in the waste stream?
But San Francisco's environmental chief, Jared Blumenfeld, says he'll push stores to use 100% recycled paper bags. And if they can train San Franciscans to bring reusable canvas bags to the market, that'll be even better.
This really isn't rocket science. If we can't outlaw plastic bags, we're never going to be able to deal with the much more complicated issues revolving around our reduction of greenhouse gases.
The plastic ban goes into effect today, but San Francisco officials won't enforce it until December 1st, after the Thanksgiving rush. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Now we head overseas to Italy, where a lot of people have their heads buried in a book. One particular book. It's a tale of shady deals, secret payoffs, and wretched excess. And Italians can't get enough of it. Megan Williams reports from Rome on Italy's new must-read.
The cast centers on a group of men driven by greed, arrogance, and privilege, an oligarchy that has become, in the words of the Italian bestseller, increasingly indifferent to the common good in order to nourish itself. No, this isn't a tale of the mafia. It's a fact-filled account of Italy's most powerful and untouchable politicians. Since the book was published in May, it sold more than 1 million copies in a country where 20,000 is considered a bestseller, and sales show no signs of slowing down. Co-author Sergio Rizzo.
Politicians here don't consider public money belonging to the public, and that means they help themselves.
One after another, Rizzo and co-author Gian Antonio Stella lay out the excesses. The budget for the president's palace, it's four times that of Buckingham Palace. The salary for a typical member of parliament, $23,000 a month, tax-free. Historically, Italians have been forgiving about such extravagances. But now they're struggling to pay the rent, and they want to know where their money is going.
Politicians have created defensive walls that are incredibly difficult to take apart. When you have this kind of entanglement of power, you realize it's created specifically not to function.
Beppe Grillo is a comedian turned political activist who's using the cast to tap into Italians' disgust with their leaders. This fall, he organized a day of nationwide protests with a slogan that told politicians where to go in no uncertain terms. Grillo wants Italy's parliament, the only one in the world with 25 convicted criminals, cleaned up. Authors Rizzo and Stella say lowering political salaries and reducing government would also be a good start. In Rome, I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
Gotten those spam emails about stock deals. I hope you deleted them because they're not only spam, they're a scam. Some people believe the tips. Others think they can sell the stock faster than the scam artists. Those people usually lose their money. Either way, the Securities and Exchange Commission is taking this problem seriously. Alex Goldmark tells us about Operation Spamalot.
About a year ago, I got a hot stock tip in my inbox. I thought maybe it was because I shared a name with the company, Goldmark Industries. But it turns out that same investment advice landed in millions of other inboxes, including Bruce Carpati's. And he works in the enforcement division of the SEC.
And what you saw is basically on December 20th, 2006, the spam email saying, Goldmark is making everyone bank, and setting a five-day price target of $2.
That's for a stock trading at 17 cents. A week later, it was at 35 cents a share.
In this scenario, the price, yes, it doubled. But the fact is, a lot of these people, they just need the volume to go up, and they'll make huge profits and illegally obtain profits.
It's called pump and dump. The spammers get their hands on some penny stock, then spam innocents like me, hoping we'll bite and drive the price up. A large campaign can boost a stock's trading volume 50-fold. The stock peaks, the spammers sell, sometimes making millions.
We felt it was necessary to do a trading suspension to give the public notice.
The SEC issued 10-day trading suspensions for about 40 companies. If the scammers can't trade, they can't scam. But suspending a company's stock could make it much harder to raise capital. I tried to reach the suspended companies to find out what they thought.
Thank you for calling Goldmark Industries.
That was about as good as it got. So I turned to Cromwell Coulson. He's the CEO of Pink Sheets, an over-the-counter trading mechanism. Well-known companies like Adidas trade on Pink Sheets, but so do many spam stocks.
For the most part, when the SEC suspends them, there is no great uproar from their customers or their employees.
He says most of the companies are tiny, and aside from spam scams, their stocks just don't trade much.
And the companies that are having spam happen are either involved or involved with bad people. Either way, the SEC is providing a great value to markets by suspending these.
Stock spam is down 30% since the anti-spam initiative started. In New York, I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott J. Gall. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.